May the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, Lord, my strength and my redeemer. I'm just going to sit and do this if you don't mind. Or even if you do mind. But I'm just being a southerner. And they're always polite, even if they intend on doing something that people don't like. The reason I wanted Father Ron to read that scripture is just to be reminded. That's an amazing passage to me, because just before the verses before that, it talks about the initial Eucharistic service, the Last Supper. This is in the upper room just before his crucifixion. And the thing that's interesting to me is that in the midst of the Last Supper and in the midst of the betrayal that had already taken place, Judas has already left, and he's already talked about there was someone who was going to betray them. All they're concerned about is who's going to be greatest in the kingdom. They're just discussing, I mean, Christ has been trying to tell them, he's going to the cross, he just got through saying, one of you are going to betray me. That's pretty heavy stuff. And they're arguing about who's going to be greater in the kingdom. And in Jesus' response to them, the thing that he does is amazing, but also the thing that he doesn't do. What he does is he tells them, his response to their arguing about who's going to be first in the kingdom is remind them about being servants, and then to say, and you have stood with me all this time, and you will have a place of honor in the kingdom. And what he didn't do is put shame on them. See, the difference between guilt and shame is this. Guilt is hard to bear. But guilt is about what you do. Shame is about who you are. Guilt is about what I did, but shame is about a condemnation of the one who did it. It involves your personhood. It isn't just that you feel bad about what you did, you feel bad about who you are as a person. It's a word that means to envelop. It literally means to swallow you up. It destroys your sense of dignity. You degrade your humanity. It makes you have a sense of worthlessness, of no value. It's a disqualifying thing. And here's the thing about shame. We know that the scripture says there are therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ, and I believe condemnation involves the feelings of guilt and the feelings of shame. That's all part of condemnation, and again, shame is a much more serious one, because shame has to do with your own personal sense of internal reputation, not just before people, but more importantly, before God. And therefore, a sense that, again, you're somehow, there's some disqualification, that you can't ever be or what, you hear me? But we all know and believe that God hates our sin. And he went to the cross because justice required what only grace could provide. But he doesn't just hate our sin, he hates our shame. He hates what our sin has done to us. It doesn't say God so hated the world that he gave his only begotten son. It doesn't even say God so hated his sin that he gave his only begotten son. What it does say is God so loved the world. He hated our sin, but he went to the cross because he loves humanity so fiercely. For CTKers who are here, my hope is that you're the kind who likes, if you hear a good song for the first time, you like to hear it again and again. Or if you hear a good message, you'll hear it maybe more in the days to come, because you're going to probably hear this again Sunday in an expanded version, because I just think it's that important. In my Christian life, I've known what it is to come under attack. I've known what it is to come under attack and guilt. I've known what it is to come under attack with fear. But I've never known how enveloping and consuming and destructive anything is as much as shame. It's the most destructive thing that the enemy can bring on a person. So I'll even shortcut it more, save all the other verses for Sunday. But listen to this. Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. And I know that most people would say, in light of chapter 11, he's talking about unbelief, but shame is all about unbelief. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Now, I know that the normal, natural interpretation of that scripture is that even though he was being put to shame openly, he despised it. I mean, I'm certainly not saying that's untrue. But I'm also saying if a truth doesn't contradict anything in scripture, the Bible is often like a hologram. You can look at it and it says this, and you turn it a little bit and it says another truth. I mean, I would think more than any other book or written thing in the history of mankind, the Bible has the capacity for that, don't you? Haven't you discovered over the years that one of your favorite verses has spoken something new to you hundreds of times? You see, and this is something the Lord, I really believe, showed me. For the joy set before him. What was the joy set before him? I think it was several things. One, the joy of being with his Father again in resurrection and ascension. You know, the joy of the enemy being defeated. But I believe also, we've talked about this over the years, the joy of humanity being redeemed. And what it says about this, for the joy set before him, he despised the shame. I think it means more than just any personal shame he was experiencing by being crucified. I think it was because he took on the sin of mankind. And he took on mankind's sin, and he hated it. He hated what it did to us. He hated how it made us feel. He hated the consequences of shame. He doesn't celebrate shame. It doesn't make him feel good about you or think you're more serious about your sin if you carry shame around. He hates it. He despised the shame that he took on because he had no guilt. He took on all our guilt, but he also took on our shame. That's part of the by his stripes we're healed. That's part of the sorrows that he bore. You understand what I'm saying to you? Jesus died on the cross not just to take away your sin, but to take away your shame. And the way the enemy comes at us is he brings up old memories of things that have happened or done. We don't have time to do all that stuff you've done. And there's just those deep, that deep sense of humiliation. Not just for what you did, but that you could do, that you as a person could do that. And it brings, again, a sense, there's a place in Joel, which we'll look at Sunday, it literally says you can't be a person of praise, faith, and shame at the same time. Because if you carry shame around with you, it's impossible for you to believe everything God has for you because you don't believe you deserve it as a person. That's more than guilt. That's self-hatred and self-rejection. And somehow we feel like God approves of that, that we're somehow proving that we're more sincere about how sorry we are that that happened because we carry that around with us. But he despises that shame. He hates the way sin affected humanity. He never puts shame on you. He creates change in us. He's all about transforming us. But shame never accomplishes that. It freezes it. Because it makes us believe there's a part of us that can never be transformed. That we're stuck there forever. That's a lost part that can never be restored. You hearing me? Now, either what I'm saying is so profoundly insightful to you, it's stunning you, or you've never had shame before. Because you should be running around this building like Pentecostals, shouting and screaming. Because I believe this is one of the most important things you'll ever hear. Lent's about coming to grips with our fallenness. And I think the sin that so easily entangles us often is shame. Shame is the sin of unbelief. That grace could be so big and so good that he doesn't want us to carry around shame. We don't have to be ashamed or carry around shame for transformation to happen. Transformation happens through the renewal of your mind, and shame is something that you carry, you bring into you from your past. It's got nothing to do with renewal. And it's one of the things that's so strong that some of the most powerful demonic forces attach themselves to shame. So I'm going to do something for you. So just close your eyes. In the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you that you despise shame. Do you die on the cross so that we would no longer have to carry our guilt or feel our shame? You took on our shame. So Lord, I just thank you that how you love us so unconditionally. You're a God of hope. Shame brings hopelessness. And in Jesus' name, I take authority over shame and I rebuke the presence of shame over anyone here today. And I command shame to release you. I command shame to go. I command the chains of shame to be broken over you. I decree over each of you prophetically that you are free to no longer carry shame again, ever, ever again. That you will stand on God's word and God's word alone, and you will not allow feelings to dictate to you what's true. That you will, a word of God alone is the source of truth on which we stand alone. And he despises shame. He doesn't embrace it. He doesn't accept it. He doesn't celebrate it. And if he despises it, you have to start despising it too. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.